أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين يغضون أصواتهم عند رسول الله أولئك الذين امتحن الله قلوبهم للتقوى، لهم مغفرة وأجر عظيم. إن الذين ينادونك من وراء الحجرات أكثرهم لا يعقلون، ولو أنهم صبروا حتى تخرج إليهم لكان خيرا لهم، والله غفور رحيم.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، in our yesterday's discussion we discussed that the delegation from the tribe of Banu Tamim came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the matter under discussion was, who is going to be appointed as the Amir of the tribe of Banu Tamim? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu suggested that it should be Qaqa ibn Ma'bad radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu suggested that it should be Aqra ibn Habis radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu insisted on his view. Umar radiallahu ta'ala also insisted on his view. And in the course of that, both of them started raising voices against each other. This was done in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala revealed his verses to emphasize on displaying adab, respect and good conduct before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahmatullahi, he has mentioned that there are five thoughts of Deen and Islam. The first is to have yaqeen, conviction in the oneness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and in the attributes of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The second is ikhlas. Whatever you do, you do solely for the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The third, farais, all the obligatory acts of Deen and Islam. The fourth, all sunnats, everything according to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the fifth is adab. Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahmatullahi says that if a person is sensitive to adab, displaying etiquette in every aspect of his life, shaitan becomes very despondent with that person. The reason for that is, if a person is sensitive to adab, he is going to be sensitive to sunnats. Anybody that is sensitive to sunnats is going to be sensitive to farais. Anybody that is sensitive to farais is going to be sensitive to ikhlas. And anybody that is sensitive to ikhlas is going to be sensitive to iman and yaqeen. In essence, there is a very close tie and knit between yaqeen and adab. Whoever got adab in him, his yaqeen is preserved. And whoever lacks in adab, to that extent, he lacks in yaqeen. That is why Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi, he used to say that if a person, he's got knowledge of the awwaleen and the akhireen, he got knowledge of the people of the past, he got knowledge of the people of the future, and he has high level of adab, I'll go out of my way to go meet the person and benefit from him. But on the contrary, If a person got extremely high knowledge, but he lacks adab, if I did not meet such a person, then I would not regret. This shows to what extent Shariat emphasizes on adab. In these verses, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala sounds a very stern warning to those people who lack adab and who lack respect. If a person does not display adab and respect, there is a possibility that he may do lots of good amal, good actions and good deeds. But because he lacks adab and respect, he may lose all those good actions and his deeds. Allah Ta'ala says, أَنْتَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Because of your lack of adab and respect, you will lose all your amal, all your good deeds and actions, and you may not even know that you lost your amal and your good deeds and actions. Secondly, if a person displays adab and respect, that is regarded to be a very high level of taqwa and piety. Ulama have stated that there are three levels of taqwa and piety. One is to abstain from kufr and shirk. That's a basic requirement of taqwa. A person cannot be a believer until he does not have this level of taqwa. A mu'min is only a mu'min if he abstains from kufr and shirk. Second level of taqwa is to abstain from sins. And the third level of taqwa is to abstain from doubtful things. Anything that is doubtful, a person abstains from that. It is mentioned in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يكون العبد من المتقين حتى يدع ما لا بأس به حتى حذرا لما بأس به. Or كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, a person cannot attain high level of taqwa until he does not stay away from permissible things with the fear that he may, that permissible thing may lead to impermissible things. Now in these verses, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala speaks about a person lowering his voice before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a person speaks loudly, there is a possibility that he may display disrespect. And there is also a possibility he may not display disrespect. But in order to avoid the possibility of displaying disrespect, the person talks softly. And this is a very high level of taqwa and high level of piety. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala speaks about taqwa. He tells us in the Quran Kareem, Ya ayyuha allazeena amanu taqullah wa qulu qawlan sadida. That only who believe, fear Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and only say that which is straight. The tongue and how to look after the tongue, that is a prescription from the side of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala to adopt taqwa and to adopt piety. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said that Al Mar'u tahta lisanihi. There are two ways of recognizing a person. One is you recognize a person with his appearance, his facial expression. You look at a person and someday you'll be able to make out who the person is and what is the conduct of the person. And second, you recognize a person through his speech. Ali radiallahu ta'ala says that a person is hidden behind his speech. You may not really know exactly how the person is until he does not talk. That is why it is stated that a person is under his speech. There is a saying in Arabic about the tongue, Jirbuhu Sagir wa Jurmuhu Kabir. The tongue is very, very small, but the functions of the tongue are very, very great, with huge major implications. It is through the tongue that a person is able to identify iman. One of the prerequisites for a person's iman is tasdeeq bil qalb, iqrar bil lisan. You testify to the heart of the oneness of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala about Jannah, Jahannam and everything else about Iman, but to proclaim it verbally is one of the prerequisites for the validity of a person's Iman. So again, it is with the tongue that we identity. It is with the tongue that what was haram seconds before, just with a verbal utterance, it now becomes halal. A woman is haram upon a person, a ghair mahram woman, until and unless nikah does not take place. Before the nikah, seconds before that, she was haram. But now, he just makes a proposal, and then an acceptance takes place. The man says to the wife, to the woman, that I take you in marriage, and the woman accepts, or vice versa. Just this statement, in the presence of two witnesses, now convert a haram act into a halal act. What were haram before now become halal, just with a verbal utterance. Even after the nikah, once the nikah takes place, now again with a verbal utterance, what were halal could make haram. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, salatun jidduhunna jiddun wa hazmuhunna jiddun. Three things. The reality of it is a reality, and the joking of it is also a reality. And among the three things, one is talaq. A person just has to utter the word of talaq. If it is either expressed or either it is not expressed, whatever the case may be, and what are the juridical implications of it, that's a different issue. But to show how important it is that a person has to make one utterance, the person has to utter the talaq one time, two times, three times, the nikah breaks, the nikah severs. If a person is business, if he makes a proposal with someone and the person with who he is dealing accepts the deal, it could be running in the thousands, it could be running in the millions. But prior to that, that item did not belong to him, it belongs to somebody else. But the moment he purchased it and made a verbal utterance, the deal is concluded, he now becomes the owner of it. But these are major implications of the tongue. But at the same time, the tongue is a great ni'mat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It is through the tongue, a person is able to attain high status in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. There's a riwayat in Mishkat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, At-tahur shatrul iman. Walhamdulillah tamna'ul mizan. The person, when he purifies himself, the purification is half of faith. But then if a person just has to say, Alhamdulillah, just a word, all praise is due to Allah. Just by saying that alone, the reward of that will fill up the scales on the day of Qiyamah. Just by saying Alhamdulillah. Further, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Alhamdulillah wa subhanallah tamna'ani ma bayna samai wal ard. To say Alhamdulillah, and on top of that to say Subhanallah. Now, it is two statements with just four words. But the reward of that is so great that it will fill up the area between the sky and the earth. But that is just the verbal utterance of Subhanallah as verbal utterance of Alhamdulillah. It is mentioned in the Quran Kareem, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala cautions us on our tongues and how we talk. مَا يَلْفَظُ مِنْ قَوْلُ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَدِيدٌ. Everything that comes out from the mouth is recorded by the malaika. Never seen that I'm saying anything and it's gone unrecorded. Each and everything is recorded. And not recorded in tape recorders, is recorded by the malaika, and then it is recorded in the lower mahfuz. Whatever we do in the world and say in the world, we will see it on the day of Qiyamah before Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So you have to be very, very careful, very calculated, very measured in everything that comes out of our mouth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ يَزْمَنُ مَا بَيْنَ لَحْيَيْ أَزْمَنْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. Or كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولَّهُ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person who gives the guarantee of two pieces of flesh, one piece of flesh that is in his mouth, his tongue, the other piece of flesh that is between his thighs, his private part. Give me guarantee of safeguarding these two, I give the person guarantee of Jannat and Paradise. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about passing a graveyard. And there were two inmates of the grave that were being punished. During the narration of Bukhari Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِنَّهُمَّا لَيُعَذَّبَانُ وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانُ فِي كَبِيرٌ. Two inmates of the grave that are being punished. But they are not being punished for something that is very difficult for them to abstain from. One person should not exercise precaution from urine drops. And the other, abuse of the tongue and gossiping. taking stories from one house to another house and worried about everybody else in the town. Everybody's town is your, everybody's concern is your concern, but you're not worried about yourself. And then you're putting sparks from one fire, from one house to another house, to another house, another house, and creating confusion in a community and society. So that is the punishment. It leads to azab al-qabr and punishment in the qabr. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that every morning, all the limbs of the body, the head, the eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet, each and every limb addresses the tongue and tells the tongue that in istaqamti istaqamna wa i'wajajti i'wajajna. Imagine all the limbs addressing the tongue and telling the tongue, the whole tongue, you are straight, we straight. And you crooked, we suffer the consequences of it. When we look at the lives of the Akabirin, they were very, very careful about the tongue and how they safeguarded themselves. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala cautioned about showing respect to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how you should talk in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did think to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I will talk to you softly, like how a person talks to one another in secret. The condition of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala after that was, when he used to talk to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet he was so close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The greatest person after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. So close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the amount of respect, whenever he used to talk to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to ask him again, what are you saying? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala once caught his tongue. And he mentioned, إِنَّ هَذَا أَوْرَدَنِي فِي الْمَوَارِثِ. It is this tongue, this has put me into difficulty and hardship. How often we notice in our life that we say certain things and we put ourselves into trouble because we did not exercise precaution over our tongue. We say things we are not supposed to say. Or if we say something we did not say correctly and appropriately, and leave so much of confusion and difficulty and burdens in our own life because we did not exercise precaution with our speech. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after the revelation of this verse, he also, yet by nature he had a loud voice, he used to come and talk very slowly and secretly to Nabi Akhirin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had a feather on his tongue. Now, if anyone today would have to do that, take a pebble and put it in their tongue, we would immediately say that he is insane and statement of insanity would be attributed to him. Yet he is Amir al-Mu'mineen, second person after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how high his status was. He was a Khalifa, Amir al-Mu'mineen, empire spread so many parts around the world. Islam has spread so far through him, but he trained himself and trained his speech and his tongue by taking a pebble and putting it on his tongue. It is to that extent they have gone to safeguard their speech. Once Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi, he went to his ustad Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Azhar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullahi. They were very close to each other and they should talk very takalluf and very easy with each other. There was no obstacle and no barrier between them two. And they used to normally talk in Urdu. So Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says that once I went to my ustad, my Sayyid Azhar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and he said, today we are going to talk in Arabic. Now, as an alim, he would know Arabic. Obviously, he would know all the grammatical aspects of Arabic, the sarf, the nahwa, all the technical aspects of it. But not every alim is used to speaking in Arabic language. So, Mawlana Sayyid Azhar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullahi also was not used to speaking the Arabic language. But then he told to Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi that today we are going to talk in Arabic. So, Mufti Shafi Sahib was concerned. Then why is it that Mullah Sayyid Azhar Hussain started to talk in Arabic. So he asked him, "See, till now we're talking Urdu, why in Arabic?" He says that when we talk in Urdu, we are used to language and we are not careful with whatever we say. So now when you're speaking in Arabic, so we'll have to calculate our speech. You know, make the jumla in your mind, etc., and then you're going to talk. In this way, it will help us to control our speech and be very calculated. Perchance we will not say anything wrong. One person came to Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He used to frequent the majlis of Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, but he had a habit of talking a lot. And every news in the town, he would tell Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Whatever it is, he would say everything. Some people have a habit that they know everything, BBC. Left, right, center, they know everything of the whole world. What concerns them, that know what they're real concerned them, that too they know. Each and everything they know. So he used to come to Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and tell lots of things. Now Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, by nature of a very tolerant person, used to tolerate all this. Then after that, the person got so affected with the character and the conduct, personality of Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he decided to take bayat in the hand of Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. After he took bayat, he asked Hazrat some zikr, some mamulat for me to do. Now took bayat. Hazrat told him that your zikr and your mamul is that you control your speech. That you don't talk anything. Because what's the purpose? You have zikr, you make mamulat, you make tilawat, you do everything, but you can't control your tongue. And see what Allah Ta'ala says us here in the Quran al-Kareem, أَن تَحْبَتَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْفُرُونَ. You don't control your speech. You can do so many virtuous actions and deeds, but because you don't control your speech, you can lose all your amal, you can lose all your actions. We know there's a juridical principle. One is daf'i mazarrat, one is jalbi manfaat. One is to gain a benefit, and one is to avert a harm. And the principle in Shariat is that daf'i mazarrat is more important than jalbi manfaat, which means that you must first try to avert a harm before you can gain a benefit. So, if a person is going to be speaking so much, that is bringing harm to himself, what's the point of now making zikr and everything when that excessive speech is going to wipe everything out and you're going to cause nuksan and harm to a person? So in order to preserve that, rather make that a mazarrat, control your speech and protect yourself from harm. You probably won't be doing good as long as you won't be doing any bad as well. So these are some of the things that Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala mentioned about the speech, particularly in front of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and generally. So Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُدُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Verily, those people who lower the voices by the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَى. They are those people whom Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has tested the hearts for taqwa. Allah Ta'ala has made the hearts khalis for taqwa. لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Those people who lower the voices by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, control the speech, is a high level of taqwa, and apart from that, for them is maghfirat. For them is forgiveness, and for them, there is also a very great reward. Some of the adab and etiquette of speech is, first and foremost, when a person speaks to one another, whether the ustad to the student, or whether it is friends to friends, whoever it may be, as a general rule, be soft in one speech. Some ulama have stated that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala put bones everywhere in the body, but Allah didn't put a bone in the tongue. And one of the possible reasons for that is that the tongue remains soft so that we could be soft in our speech as well. One person was reprimanding another person. So the person that was being reprimanded, he told the person, "See, I haven't committed a crime as serious as Fir'aun, and neither are you greater than Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. But Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala sent Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Harun alayhi salatu wasalam to Fir'aun. Now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, great Nabi of Allah, and he had Jalal in him. Not Jamal, yet both Jalal. He had Jamal in him, but Jalal was greater in the personality of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Fir'aun, he was a tyrant ruler. Now imagine a person with Jalal is being sent to Fir'aun, who is a zalim ruler. In spite of that, Allah Ta'ala says, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Go and tell him something soft. Tell Fir'aun something soft. Tell him Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, who's got Jalal in him, you go and talk to Fir'aun and tell him something soft. Now if we would calculate it, we say, no, steel cut steel. Yes, but Allah Ta'ala is saying something else, that talks softly to the person. Second etiquette of speech is that try to talk as clear as possible. Don't mumble. It's against the adab and etiquette of speech. One of the etiquette of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's speech, كَانَ كَلَامُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَصْلًا يَفْهَمُهُ كُلُّ مَنْ سَمِعَ. That the speech of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very, very clear, and everyone that was around was able to understand the speech of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Third etiquette of speech is when you talk, and somebody enters into a dispute with you, and you know that the person is ignorant, either is falling in nafs, or he does not understand the issue, he is completely ignorant of the issue, then don't engage into discussion with him. Diplomatically avoid the discussion. وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When ignorant people talk, then say them salam. Diplomatically move away from the situation. Why do you need to engage the person and waste your time? And especially when it comes to soft etiquette of speech, when a male is talking to a female that is غير محرم, in principle whom nikah is permissible, then on both ways, man and woman, they should not be talking, especially a woman, should not be talking to a man in a soft, alluring voice. Because a woman in a voice, she got sweetness and there is a certain attraction in her voice. So it's in the speech or whether in the film, whatever it is, should talk firm but not unrude. It shouldn't be if they are done in a rude way, but it shouldn't be done in a soft and alluring way. Allah Ta'ala tells in the Quran Kareem, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَتْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضْ وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. Allah Ta'ala is addressing the wives of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who's got the highest level of taqwa. They are the wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they are our mothers. After the demise of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, nobody could even get married to them. But imagine, they are being told that when they talk to anyone else, then they should not lower the voices and they should not talk in a soft, alluring voice. When that is a condition for the wife of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then what is the condition of every other woman? And a man by nature has an attraction towards a woman. So if a woman is going to talk softly, sweetly, nicely, whether in person or whether over the phone, then that may get create some kind of excitement in the heart of a man and that may lead to fitna. So these are some of the adab and etiquette of speech. It is mentioned in the hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned three things as an advice. أَمْلِكْ عَلَيْكَ لِسَانَكْ وَلْيَسَعَى بَيْتُكْ وَبْكِ عَلَى خَطِيَتِكْ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi mentioned, become the owner of your tongue. That means control your tongue. Make an effort and control your tongue. If you think that you are excessive with your speech, now you do something, make mujahada and control your speech and say, I'm not going to talk as much as I used to talk before. Until and unless you're not going to fight enough, then the speech is going to be very bad and that very same speech could be a means of destruction and disaster in the akhirah. Second, stay in the confines of your home to avoid fitna. And third, you made any commit any sins, anything, you realize, you come to a point of realization, make tawbah, make istighfar and cry upon your sins. May God Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.